Oh, Jesus, thank you. We come in that all-wonderful, beautiful name, believing you today. And Lord, I thank you. You've promised that that thing that you sent it, you'll perform it. And oh, what a precious thing you have going on here. And we just give you all the glory, praise, honor, and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles, we're going to 2 Kings today, chapter 22. We were in here last Sunday night for just a moment. I believe the Lord put an unction in my heart. We got to get right back here reading about this precious little man. He's a little man when he was called to be a king. His name's Josiah, 8 years old. You ever see the number 8 in the Word of God, it best gets your attention. Speaks of the bridal truth, speaks of the much the more. It speaks of those that will be taken out like the 8 in the ark. A lot of things in this wonderful word if you're paying attention and want to know. The Holy Ghost, he'll let you know. As the word of the truth says, he that wills to know will know the will of God. You'll know the truth. And I know that's his purpose for us. And here we go in the very first verse of 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Josiah walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now let's turn on over to chapter 23. In this time there was such a rejoicing because Josiah had a wicked dad, wicked grandpa. There was a lot of wickedness in this kid's genealogy, if you will. And the word of God had been pretty much discarded for years. Matter of fact, forgotten. See, that's what happens when you don't continue to encourage yourself in the Lord, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let me tell you something. You get away from the word of God and you don't return to it, it'll just be further and further steps away from the things of God. But it just takes one step back, praise God, and the Lord will do it. But that's how things go. And they had gotten so far away from the word of God, it was as if the word of God had just been completely gone. But God was faithful and the word was still there. It was just that no one was looking for it. But the Lord knew a heart would come, a heart in an 8-year-old little boy, that he would have to be king. And there was a precious man of God that was used of the Lord, and he came running in one day and he said, "Oh, look what I found. I found hidden away in here, it had dust on it, I'm confident, things just piled on top of it." But he found the word of God and he brought it in. And to this 8-year-old little boy, it became the not just the greatest thing of life, it became the only thing in life. And here's what it said about him in the 23rd chapter of the 23rd verse. "But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein the Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem, moreover the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." And here's what it said about Josiah. "And like unto him was there no king before him." Listen to that. "And like unto Josiah there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." I really love this little king. And I love that he was from such an ungodly heritage in a way. His father had nothing to do with God, generations of ungodliness in Israel. But when the word of God was shown to him, when the word of God was shown to you, when the entirety of the word of God was shown to him, when the entirety of the word of God was shown to you, even, oh my, King David, praise God, no one, even King David, went after it like Josiah did. Now, I want you to know this. We're not here to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. That's not what this is. But truly, why can't this be me? Why can't this be me? Why can't this heart of Josiah be in me? And why can't this be in you? And why can't this be you? You think about, why does it give us such detail here? How could this little boy with no chance, and put yourself right there, how could you with no chance? And you think about this king, he didn't have no Samuel the prophet there to encourage him. But how could he exceed all the kings before him and all the kings after him in turning fully to the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and might? Well, I'll tell you what. This was exceptional here. And it was because of what the Lord did in this young man. In the 22nd chapter, in verse 19, it gives you the answer. There's two words there. He was tender and he was humble. He was tender and humble. By the grace of God, may we always be tender to the word of God. Always. People hear me say this often. I'm so thankful when I meet tender people towards the things of God. Now, that's a beautiful thing, but tenderness alone won't get it. By the grace of God, it needs to be also coupled with humility, a humbleness. I'm tender, but then I'm in awe of you, God. I'm in awe of the beauty of this amazing word of God. This grace message of knowing who I am but for God and Jesus, what you became and what you were made for me. And then the plan in what you want me to be in you and what you want to be in me. How thankful I am that this was placed upon him. I thank God that in Josiah the mark wasn't a man. He didn't go after a natural man, but it was the joy of the truth. It was the delight for the word of God. When he heard the word of God, it moved him. When he heard the word of God, it wasn't just a moment in time. When he heard the word of God, it was it. It was everything. He was the king. He could have continued in those wicked ways. He could have had all of those delicacies in the same way and been that ogre of a king, selfish, desiring all of the lusts that he could pile upon himself to give him praise, to give him satisfaction. But there was a difference. By the grace of God, that man was tender. And when he heard the word of God, he humbled himself and he says, oh, a wretch like me, that this could come to me, that you had such grace, that this was found at this time. Are you getting this? That the word in its entirety, as it says here, and you're going to hear it again, in its entirety was given to me. I was from a generation that was lost in wickedness. Now, he had a godly mom. Oh my, what a godly mom can be. And she was praying. And she was believing, I'm confident. But there was so much wickedness that wanted to shut all that out. But let me tell you something. If he be for you, who could be against you? Know this. And this is even more divine and more exact. And it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But he brought this to you just like he did Josiah. You didn't go find this. It found you. It presented itself to them. Do you get that? It wasn't this search to go find. It was there all the time. And here came this truth. Through all of these wicked centuries. And here came a rain. A latter rain. And There were just a few that didn't just go inside. They said, what is this? I got to go out and get it. I got to go out and enjoy it. I need to go out and receive this. Amen. And this is what it did in those that are like Josiah. Praise God. It wasn't the mark of a man. It was the joy of the truth. And he delighted in that word so much. His heart was for all. There's a huge encouragement and an emphasis in this section of Scripture. In verse 13 of chapter 22, it tells us that he was encouraged in all that was written. Not just bits and pieces, not just some. But as it says there in the last of that 13th verse, he says, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. This wasn't about something else. He took this personally. He knew this was for him. This wasn't just something that was out there. This was specifically for him. And he knew it was for us. And God has given us this. He's brought this out at this time through all of this darkness and all of this evil. God has poured this out to us. Now, by the grace of God, I follow Paul as he followed Christ. But I don't follow Paul the man. Oh no. I do not follow his personality. I don't follow his mannerisms. I follow Paul as he followed the whole entire love gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because Paul was and is, as it says, the wise master builder. The wise master builder. Turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. Paul says it like this. And this is concerning us. Just like Josiah was talking to the people at that time. That it was concerning them. But this is concerning us. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Oh, I like that. Clipping on me. More fruit, more fruit. Ye are God's building. Even a masterpiece of grace. Praise God. Now, he tells you what it is in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. And this is Paul speaking. And the reason I can say this, and the reason that this is here, and what this wonderful word of his grace is doing, it's according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. Now see, Paul's speaking of this foundation that we understand and we know the foundation's always Christ. But thanks be to God, we were given, and it was for us, we were given the Apostle Paul, who is the wise master builder. Not just a master builder, not just an expert, but the wise one is an expert with the best plan. There is something real precise here. He is the expert with the best plan. That's exactly what this means in the Greek. See, there is no other gospel that builds the bridal message in you. There isn't. There's no other way. Oh, there's a watered down version. And I know who watered that. It's called the enemy. That'll come in and tell you, oh, the whole church is the bride. No, the whole church is not the bride. It's not. There would have been no need for the Apostle Paul and his preaching. And this encouragement of the much the more and this mystery that was hidden. There would be no reason that the word sunc hieronymus would ever be preached in the word of God. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. As husband and wife with Jesus Christ. There would have been no reason for that. But then I would have to go back and say, well, there would have been no reason for all of those stories in the Old Testament about all them marriages. And all that detail of the courtship. All of those sweet, amazing Gentile brides that jumped and fell out of nowhere. right there into old Israel. How did she get there? There's no other gospel that builds that. That's what he's speaking of here. We know that Christ is the foundation. But there is a body within the body. And there's a foundation that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here that he's building out from that foundation. And it's Paul's gospel's bridal truth he's building out, praise God, a masterpiece of grace that will be his glory. Oh my. It's perfect, isn't it? Now see, Paul was given the only perfect plan because it says he's the expert with the best plan. Isn't that interesting? That's exactly what this means here. Go look it up if you doubt it. I'm just giving you the word of God. He is the one with the gospel of the glory of grace. He was given the high calling way into the midst of the throne glory to be the bride for Jesus Christ. And there is no other gospel. It's that obvious. Paul's gospel is that glorious. But I do not praise Paul. Oh, no, I don't. I praise the grace. I praise the same grace that was given to Paul to know the best plan. Amen. Oh, am I thankful. Now, here we have, back thinking about Josiah. It says that he walked in all the ways, or I should say the way of his father David. Think about what David's way was. Now, Psalms tell us a lot about David's way. It was a way of truth. It was a way of light. It was a way of rejoicing. It was a perfect way. And Josiah walked in that way. But I thank the Lord about Josiah. Josiah walked in his own shoes. Josiah realized that he had his own wings. And he flew in the same truth. But thanks be to God, it even encourages us that there was even more joy and heart fervency of it. Yeah. There wasn't a lot written about this little king, was there? But oh, what was written about him was everything. Everything and more. Everything that was in his father David. And oh, what an everything. Amen. Think of all of the joy we receive from that wonderful joint of the body of Christ. Amen. Just so thankful that encouragement that we receive from the ministering of truth and love. And Josiah received all of it and even more. It's marvelous. See, he flew in and excelled in that fervent heart. You know, does Elisha's request and the granting of his request to have a double portion more than what Elijah had, does that not thrill you? Does it not excite something in your heart that it's always in our lives, brothers and sisters. It's like the half has not been told. I know all the truth has been preached. I thank God for that. I thank the Lord that I know that truth through the Apostle Paul. It's there. It's all there. But I thank the Lord that we can continue to walk in more joy of it. And we can walk in more light of it. And we can be encouraged more and more in it. And we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We can go out there and say, by the grace of God, Lord, give me a double portion. I may have been sitting here a long time today. I may have even received many a double portions in my life. And praise be to God, I get them every day. But I ask the Lord always, Lord, don't let me get complacent. I want more. I want more of this. By the grace of God, I want to get encouraged in more of it. That's why I was telling you earlier, with what the Lord's opening up, at least in my heart, I'll raise my hand in Romans 6 and 7 and 8. He's taken me back in the Psalms and showed me some things that I've read many times and rejoiced in bridal ways in them. But now it's like, oh my, I've never seen this stuff. I've never seen that glory. It's like the glory that we saw in Moses. If you talk, come in and listen to these studies and all. The back parts, not to quiz you, but it means the future. The back parts means the future. Everybody looks at that and say, oh, well, the back parts, yeah, I know what that means. That just means this. Just like the ark, it only means a wooden ship. Hello? No, really. What's the depths in these things? Oh, it was just a ship. No, we know who the ark was. It's our Lord and Savior. And those eight passengers weren't just there for a family. They were there for a rib portion. What do you want to see? I want to see, yea, the deep things of God. That's what he told me I could see. You know that, sis? Isn't that wonderful? He said, I'll tell you. Yeah, eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard. You know what God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, but by his Spirit. Yea, the deep things. You think he's enticing you to something? Huh? I know he is. He's saying, oh, honey, I've given you this. This is like, well, it is. It's a love letter. What do you want to see? As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Amen? Why does it say about the Holy Ghost? He takes the things of Christ. Yes, he makes them yours. I get that. But it's truly, he shows them unto you. See, without that vision, it says the people perish. And that's true. See, without a vision and a continuing of more light and more joy in it, you're just going to get stagnant. You're going to stop. You're going to get to the halfway house and said, wow, this was a great trip, but I think I've seen enough. I'm going back. Or I'll stay here. Yeah. We've heard it a long time, haven't we? And it's the same truth. But I'll tell you what, I'm seeing God's precious people. And I thank the Lord. It's not the ones I'm focused on, but I'm here today in the encouragement of the Lord. And it could be us, but for the grace of God. But I'm seeing God's precious people get complacent. They think they've achieved everything or experienced everything. And that there is no way there couldn't be any more joy or any more better. And I think one of the greatest examples of that in the Word of God, how wrong that is King Saul's daughter, Michal. King Saul's daughter, Michal, she felt exactly that way. And here's the way she felt. She felt, my dad does it right. Oh, yes, my dad, the king, is the benchmark. And when David removed his clothes and danced for joy, Michal was repulsed. She thought, no king ever did that, and no king would ever do that. That is vile. That is beneath the manners of the king. And what did God do? He shut up her womb. She could not have any children. What he was speaking of there is the fruitfulness that would come forth out of a life. It was done. It was gone. See, why do we always look to men to be our benchmarks? And now what I'm talking about is their personalities and their actions. I believe the Word of God tells us it's the faith and love, it's the Spirit and truth that we should follow. Should we not rejoice the more if there's an abundance of presence of bridal dwelling saints? I thank the Lord for that. I thank God because that's His work. He's the one that gives the increase. Should we not be just like Josiah? And what God brought through him, you know what God brought through him? The much, the more. He didn't just bring it back, he brought the much, the more. And it came out of nowhere, didn't it? Just like the bridal truth, in a way, it'd been there. And it'd been preached. But it was like it was a hidden thing for centuries, brothers and sisters, centuries. There was a few that wrote about, as they call it, the split rapture. No, it's called an out-resurrection. Just understand what it is. It's a resurrection out from a resurrection. There's nothing split about it. We're one. You understand that? It's just one. But I thank the Lord that at different times, praise God, that one is going up. It's going to be taken out. Every man in his own order, there are ranks in the resurrection. You best know it. It's right there. Don't try to explain it away. By the grace of God, receive what the Word of God has said. And allow the Scriptures just to line it right up and make it your own. Now we thank God, brothers and sisters, for the encouragement of a Josiah, the encouragement of a David, the encouragement of the Apostle Paul. But getting back to Michael, we're either going to be one of these two. We're either going to be stuck in the past like Michael and we're going to be unfruitful, or we're going to enjoy more of the much the more as David. And even more as Josiah. The much the more of the glory of the Lord. This is the truth. Now, I will state this because it's the truth. This is a place where Paul's gospel is preached. This is a place, by the grace of God, of ruling and reigning. I thank the Lord for that. That's what this gospel does. Amen. It sits you in here, and if you'll listen to it and hear it, you'll realize that you weren't fit to hold a palm and wave it. You were made to receive a message of a crown and to hold it. And to hold it fast is the greatest thing there could ever be. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. And I thank God that when we come here, and it's true, this is a throne room gathering. We get in here, praise God, because of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' gospel that continues to be preached by the grace of God in this place. We get in here, hallelujah, and we're not confined to these walls. I thank the Lord. I see a building here, but I thank God I see through that. I see that when we gather in Jesus' name, we're in the very presence of the throne room. And I thank the Lord that our fellowship in the presence of the throne room, by the grace of God, is a thrill to the Father and the Son. Because we're rejoicing and praising Him for the grace of God that is ministered to us, that ruling and reigning gospel. That ruling and reigning gospel. How do we please God? By faith. Well, I'll tell you what. That's some faith. That's some faith. Hallelujah. I thank God that I gather with people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe it's evident in here. I am thankful that that's why we come. But brothers and sisters, that is by His grace what I desire. Because it's what Christ desires. For everybody. And I would just encourage every life here. Continue. If you're taking it, take it. If you're finding yourself that you've been a little bit like Michael, well, I think I know it. I think I know it's this way. It was better then. You're a sad sort. You're a sad sort. Don't stay there. And it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. God is faithful. God is faithful to you. I can attest to you by the grace of God. He's given you a pastor that loves the truth. I too love the gospel. And I love the bridal truth. And by the grace of God, He's given me an unction to preach it. And I thank the Lord that we have ones that are receiving it along. Me along with them. And them along with me. And there is abundance in it, and it's pouring. But I'll tell you what, you don't want to take it, it will pass you by. And you'll find yourself out there on defeated island. Yeah. And that's a giant chain of islands. It's huge. And it is the truth. Whereas you could be abiding. And I don't know how to wake people up. That's loving the appearing of the Lord. What appearing do you love? What appearing do you love? Do you love the appearing in the air with the bridal saints? Or do you love the appearing holding a palm with the masses, standing before the throne, waving it, saying, "Salvation to my God"? Who are you gathering with? Who you gathering with? Who are you assembling yourselves together? Is it like precious faith? This is what this is. This is what Josiah realized. That's the mark. But it's not a man. That's the mark, and there's even more joy. It's more abundant.
And it wasn't to compare it, because it was really the same joy. But I thank the Lord, Josiah realized it needed to be mine. Yeah, it was the way of my father David. But thanks be to God, I'm in the way. I'm in that. God gave me my shoes to walk it. And it's not a time past. It's now. The grace of God, you think about. The grace of God is, really, as we conclude this, the grace of God that was given to the likes of Esther and the likes of Ruth, chosen out from all of the others. Why does it scare you? Why does it seem something that's just, oh, it can't be that way, when the Word of God was always that way? It struck always just a few. It just did. It was that way. Most people around there, they received something. They received something, and it was sweet what they received. But then there were the kooks. They're just... How did they get here? Where did Esther come from? You could hear all of those other girls in there. Well, she's just an orphan. How come she's here? Ruth? Who put her in that field? Well, the only one that was that mattered about who put her in that field was Boaz the Redeemer. I see her. I see her. Now, look. Look. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This don't change. There was a type of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message back then. There was. That's why we have the 11th chapter of Hebrews, don't we? It was. It was those that, praise God, they believed. Others were around it. They benefited from it. At times they would come and go. But then there were ones like Josiah. Oh, man. This is all my heart, soul, and might. I am the most fortunate of all. I see you, Lord. This is what we're going to stand for, Lord. It's pouring glory. And all I can tell you by the grace of God is stand under the waterfall. Really, stand on. Don't go watching it from back over here. Go get under that waterfall. Take the anointing for yourself. Don't stand over there and just watch it come down, or even turn away from it and say, oh, well, I remember this and I remember that. See, how stupid that is? Here you have these ones that are over there just basking in this waterfall of anointing, grace, and mercy. Just over here, and we're just having a good time, and woo, thank you, Lord, what you're showing. Oh, well, I just remember my time, and that couldn't be anything better than my time. And it is so sad, son. It's terribly sad. And those that rejoiced in that waterfall that we knew, that are now with the Lord, they would say, shame on us for not going on. Did Moses want to say, oh no, you need to stay back here with me and look at what I'm seeing? Or do you think he encouraged that sweet Joshua and Caleb? Yes. Sons, you go on in. You take them in. I wanted to see it so bad. I wanted it beyond what you'll ever know. But I'm so glad. I am so glad. Go take it. You got the invite to the well. You do. It's just like a Rebecca. You are hearing the proposal of the bridegroom. Listen to the Lord. Mount up on that camel and go. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Let it be me. Let it be me. And all it is just step right on over. Just step right on over. and
shalom.
Lord,
shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Jesus.
Shalom. Shalom.
Jesus.
There are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and my Spirit. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God, the Spirit is greater. The testimony of Jesus, the Spirit of the prophets, the testimony of God, Jesus, Father, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Worship God. Worship God in spirit and in truth to the glory of His praise. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we're so grateful for your word and, Lord, your heart and your desire for us. And, Lord, your compassion fails not. Your mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, how you continue to draw us. And, Lord, as the Spirit spoke, there is not much time. It is a short time. It is but a brief moment. And then it is gone. Lord, help us to truly just lay hold and want to hear you. Help us to take these things and truly ponder in our hearts what we've heard today. Lord, if it be the will and the word of God, why would I wait? Why would I delay? Why would I not come now? We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.